going to begin the work session of the City of Cedarville City Council. It's being held at the Community Recreation Center. It is 6:11 on Tuesday, October 5th, 2021. And we are going to begin this meeting with a discussion on the Heritage Park Concept Plan.
Thank you. I'm going to go quickly through the evolution of where the design is right now. So I'm going to start with the survey we paid for with G Brown Design and then their sketches that they did. And we tried to take the feedback that we heard from residents nearby and from staff, and it evolved. So I'll just go quickly through these pictures and you can ask questions. So each one of these big dashes is about 5 feet in elevation, and then those little lines is 1 foot. So you know, so from where our current basketball court to the creek is 25 feet, it's like from there. And then it goes back up to the parking lot. So you can see it's mostly flat along the fence next to the church, but it really slopes in kind of like an hourglass shape. So back in August, G Brown Design presented this to Chandler, Kevin. And I was worried about, with the Family Festival still at Heritage Park, taking all the green space. So we like all the, we didn't tell him to do parking up above by the church, but Chandler really liked that. And it, so we said, good idea. So there's another 23 stalls, I believe, on this plan that they did. And I said, well, this is beautiful. Maybe we can just show the pickleballs and dash lines for sometime in the future. The other option is if the school ever decides to give us some land, some of that stuff on the west side could be shifted. Like, we're supposed to meet in November, so let's say the school says, yeah, you could use the land, which is probably not likely, but you could move part of the parking lot and you could have courts maybe to the west of the current parking lot. It's pretty easy. But I'll show you how it evolved. So they moved the basketball court up, and I'm like, we can't make the basketball court worse than it was. And that's what they did. It's like a half court, a little rinky-dink. I was like, that's like a downgrade. So, and they said, well, we had to do that because of the grading. So I said, okay, switch the basketball with the playground and take out couple stalls, and so that's how we got to the last run. So this is the north, this would be the north new playground. It includes, as you can see, a little one stall family restroom, little pavilion, and it uses a sloped area for the playground that wasn't really usable before. And then it does a basketball court, same size as we had before, but it adds a couple hoops and makes it a little bit nicer. Adds quite a few trees and paths. And so let me read through the improvements this design includes. Expanded lower parking lot, the west side, new pavilion with picnic tables approximately 30 to 60. Which is similar to the existing pavilion, an area for possible future pickleball courts. You can see that just south of the parking lot, but it's not in the space. An 8-foot wide bridge at the northern stream crossing, a hammock and seating areas along the stream, new picnic table pads along the stream, new band shell for amphitheater. So you can see in the bottom left corner, that's a concept of amphitheater band shell. Concrete pads for lighting and sound equipment at the top of the amphitheater. Those little boxes. Let me see, those are concrete pads for light and sound. Secret garden paths, pathways in Blackstone seating, relaxing areas. Upper Eastern Park area upgrades. So in the Upper Eastern Park, we have now 9 stalls. It's the ADA one there, and then you have new walkways with ADA access to lower level of new 2-tiered playground area. New playground area includes upper level, includes rope swing, which we don't have in the city, a rope park, board course, play tower with slides, one large slide that may extend down to lower slope terrace. And then there's slope. Lower terrace includes a double slide, a rope climber upslope, and a slide from the play tower. And it says, please note that the photos convey our design ideas and intent. Materials, finishes, and equipment may be modified as we go through design process. Design requires retaining walls at basketball court and at ADA ramp access, as well as along the western edge of the playground area. New walkway connections and stairs to bridges. An upgraded southern playground. This is where the playground has been in the past, that area. But this would be a toddler area. So it has another wooden tower structure for younger children, a couple of swing seats, a spinner, and a sand digger area.
So that's what you would replace the existing one with?
Yeah. And then.
Seems like that playground equipment is pretty new.
What?
The playground equipment on that area is pretty new.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, are we going to not reuse it or anything?
I'm not sure how it'd be repurposed, but that would probably not be a first base thing, but that's kind of like it would be a toddler area.
I mean, it's been replaced since I've been on the council. So.
No, it hasn't been replaced since I worked here. It's got to be.
No, it's been replaced.
We'll find out when it was, because I don't know. Answer that question.
I think it was literally right.
I was married and had a reception there. 16 years ago, I was there. So
that was a different one.
We're gonna find out.
Well, we'll put a drink on it. Type the
point is though, is we can just make a toddler area somewhere.
Yeah, no, I like the toddler area, and I like it further in than Alfred Street, so I guess. I think that's really, I like that idea.
Okay. And then, and shows new trees and area up around upper playground, new trees added along the western edge school property, so. Instead of the line of ugly trees, there'd be clusters of trees that look more natural. So, I thought that was cool. New tree guy. Sorry, Chandler, are we, parks are expensive and grounds are, upgrades are expensive. And so, what we, if you guys are good with the layout, we can have them start on construction drawings and give them some feedback, but like we had to do with Harvey Park, we may have to prioritize certain areas of what we wanted to do first based on the estimates, which I don't have yet, and I don't. So, is there anything missing, or is there any locations that you, are you good with the parking?
So this, the action and pickleball area would be of how many, four pickleball courts?
That's just two.
So the only thing we talked earlier about the veterans flagpole, having some area on the Veterans Day or Memorial Day event flag raising. So, talked about the location.
Yeah, so we talked maybe doing something in this area close to where there's access. I'm not in a.
So what, move from the pavilion that it is now over to there?
Yeah. Just easier access for people. And have something, some plaque, you know, referencing veterans and all the armed forces. Just don't, we don't have anything in the city like that. So I think this is a great opportunity to.
Maybe
four blank
walls. If there's four sides to something, we could list. You know, at Saratoga Springs, they have like different fields plus public safety. Like they have the Marines, Army, like public safety.
I think there's room right around that pavilion right now.
Yeah, I think that'd be nice.
I think it would be easy to park a little close to that too.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Is there any other feedback you'd like me to give to Brown on the?
This might be too specific.
Okay.
I played a lot of basketball. I'm not sure if that concept works or serves a purpose where it's showing four different groups. I think that the one on each end would be fine. Because you're not gonna have like four 3-on-3 games happening at the same time in that small area.
The reason for that is just and usually have the lower heights on the sides and when the bigger kids are coming over.
But you can not stripe it in the way that they've done it. They've made it striped where it's kind of like a gobbledygook mess. You can stripe it for a long way basketball like you're saying,
and then the side
just keep a short basket on the side.
Yeah, it wouldn't be.
Little kids don't need like a key.
No. It would be similar, like, I think they're trying to do similar to Harvey's lines. I don't think it looks too messy there, but.
Yeah, Harvey's bigger.
Harvey's got two on the sides, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It has six.
Like six.
It has six, yeah. Hoops, so this
is a lot bigger.
This is like a 3/4.
Okay. Can I just chime in about at least my thoughts when we were having our meeting with G. Brown? I felt like it was important to. I can't get that to work. It's doing too much feedback. Oh, yeah. I felt like it was important to. Harvey Heritage Park has a few. aspects to it that we wanted, at least I felt like it was important to preserve. And in discussions with some staff members, this is kind of where I landed, was that when you walk through Heritage Park, it's more of a quiet, ambient type feel, and I think that that was something that I felt was important to preserve, at least at this moment. And so the things that you see on the proposal here are enhancements to what's already there. We already have a playground, we already have a basketball court, it's adding more bathrooms. I think that one of the underrated things that we do in our park that people don't maybe aren't necessarily aware of is the arts, the productions that they do at the amphitheater. And when Mr. Brown looked at our amphitheater, he's like, "Ooh, you guys got to change this. This is a problem." And so I think that putting some time and effort into redeveloping that will go a long way. The band shell, it seems like a lot, but it's actually something I think the city could look at reserving for other productions throughout the year. And what I was told was the American Fork Amphitheater is reserved quite often throughout the year, not just for productions, but for other events. And so it could be something similar. The venue has gotten rave reviews by anybody that's come and seen the Creekside production in the summer. So I think it's taking what's there and enhancing it and kind of updating it, giving it a facelift, and giving it something exciting. Like the playground on the hillside, I actually really think it's a cool idea to utilize the hillside and the natural topography there in designing a playset. So there's some really cool things that I think the city can do to make this a really unique park, similar to what we did in Harvey. So that's just my two cents.
And the theater shows it's like tiered, kind of like stadium.
Well, it's showing some gradation, grade work, but we're not actually proposing any grade work. It's just sloped down like an amphitheater, not like Kemp Cove where you go and there's actual layers. It's really just, we're not proposing any grade work.
I don't think
we're
changing that.
Changing
where
that.
It is right now, I think that.
Chair, what's the layer?
Okay. It's layered
not,
right
not
now.
Like not like Tim Cove,
not, what,
but we're not
what,
we're not proposing.
It is, mow it, it's,
okay,
wow.
but it's not we're not proposing any changes to the grades there.
I don't think so. Nothing dramatic there. I don't think so.
I think it's fantastic. I love the idea of the shell. I think that it's needed. We have people hammering things to the trees to put their sets and. I mean, we need to give them something. If we're going to allow these productions or put some on for ourselves, we need to have some effort to present these things. So I think this is a great idea. And I do love that, the hillside playground. That's fantastic.
That's in San Francisco, I think.
So
nature.
Cool.
Art.
Have they talked about the material they want to use on the slope part of the ground? Is this just like our official term?
No. Well,
that's what this one looks like.
Yeah, that one. That's what that one is. And it could be a mix of turf and rock.
So the reason why I bring it up is, I don't know who all here has been to the Santa Barbara Zoo, but they've got a hill, and it's probably 20 feet wide, about 8 feet tall, and they have big pieces of cardboard. It's all turf. And you get through about 20 minutes of seeing animals, and then 2 hours of kids just sliding down this thing. And it's, I don't think they've had any problems ever with it. It's been that way for years. I never see these damage to it within our community, but it just becomes another.
Recording in progress.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I would look at an artificial.
Yeah, I think that's the way I was leaning. You said right now that. And we did that at Bay Hill and Corral and Harvey, and I think people like it overall.
It could also give us somewhere to sled instead of on the ball course.
Right into that river.
I definitely think there's fun things you can do with the slope, and I want to take advantage of that uniqueness of that part.
Is the secret garden in the future? Plan, or is that something that's in phase one?
It just depends on what we prioritize and how much money we make available for it. But I mean, you can do playgrounds first, you can do amphitheater first, you can do bathrooms and paths and parking lots first, or some mixture of that, but you know, probably not 100% in the bid for now. I have to wait and see what his estimates are or not. I think we can definitely get a lot of it done, but I don't know. Buildings are always kind of a wild card because they just sometimes are a lot more than you expect. Like Harvey came in at 560 on the lowest bid for that building. And I don't think anything we're proposing here other than the amphitheater is very big, so it shouldn't be huge. But playground, because we're getting the black locust wood, it is a little more than your plastics and stuff. So, all right, well, thanks. If do you have anything else, or if you think of something else, go ahead and email me and Chandler and Kevin. And but I'd like to get him started on some drawings so that, and then we can, so that we can get a better idea on the cost and we can get some of the work scheduled for the spring so this doesn't drag out too long. But
that's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're okay. Going to the birds?
We're going to try.
Okay. So our next item is a presentation. You have in your packets a presentation from Bird Scooters. When we were at ULCT, Bird Scooters had a booth set up. Oh, there she is. A booth set up talking about the scooters that they placed in the city. And I thought it sounded like something we could talk about in our city and see what you think about it. So,
we can't hear her.
Hold on.
So Kate is giving us just a little discussion about what Bird does, what they do in the city.
Let's try to be here.
Highland had this presentation recently, but we would like to get in.
I can never tell.
Thank you.
Austin is disabled from the presenter, so.
Sure, I will fix that.
One moment.
Okay, perfect. And is the audio okay? Can everybody hear me clearly?
Okay, you're the host.
Perfect. All right, are you able to see my screen?
Yes.
Awesome. So the big kind of reason why we're talking today is, and ultimately where Bird can come into help is we're looking to improve our communities and the lives of those around us is kind of at the core of everything we do here. So what is Bird? You've seen us in Salt Lake City. You've also seen us in Lehigh and a few other communities around Cedar Hill. We're ultimately a micromobility company with a focus in shared electric vehicles. We do primarily focus on scooters, but we have announced our electric bikes as well, which will be available in the near future here. We ultimately use our vehicles for that first mile, last mile trips. So those little short trips that get you to and from your house, a park, to and from public transportation. It's a great way that if you want to go grab a bite to eat for lunch and you know, you're out doing something with friends and you don't have your car, you don't want to rely on your car, or if you want to just go take one way trip and not have a vehicle, a bike, or a car with you, it's a great way to kind of do those one way trips as well. So Bird was founded in 2017. We have quickly grown to over 350 cities globally. So when I first started, we were in about 30 cities. We've seen tremendous, tremendous expansion. And a big point into that is that the scooter industry is more complex than it looks. When we first introduced our model, we were the original providers of this type of transportation. We saw a lot of competitors, a ton of interest, ultimately, because it is so convenient, reliable, and ultimately sustainable form of transportation. So we saw a lot of competitors pop up. We've spent a ton of money really focusing on how do we advance our hardware, our software, and our operation experience to make the best experience possible for our cities and the communities in that city and for the management of it all. And so you see that in the past few years, we've gone into some very small cities like Fort Scott, Kansas, Alva, Oklahoma, and a dozen others, and have quickly been expanding. So we're not just in those major metropolitan cities that we started in. The reason why we started in those big cities, it was obvious. You could get a lot of ridership. You could have a centralized service center where we would manage everything out of and kind of be there. But now we're able to locally or train someone that's local within your community that would be responsible for charging, repairing, and managing the vehicles on the ground with our kind of remote onboarding, training, and oversight and guidance. So it's a really, really localized way to help better serve communities all over. So ultimately how it works, you download the Bird app. All riders must be 18 or over. You have to sign a user agreement stating that you're responsible for how you use the vehicles. You add your credit card, and then you scan the Bird that you're looking for, or look at a map to see where one is nearby. You watch some tutorials or continued added education every time you go to ride, like things like stay off the sidewalks, stay in bike lanes, different notifications that we want to educate the riders on. The pricing is going to be about a dollar to start, and then a per minute fee. We do have different pricing options as well for different groups. We are a fully dockless, so as you see in Salt Lake City, these vehicles are not tethered to a specific docking station. This was the reason why Bird expanded so quickly because you have the freedom to choose where you are going to go. You can kind of have that flexibility within the designated operating zone. So we'll talk about some geofencing kind of down the line here. But we ride just like you would a bicycle in the bike lane. We really do want to have a commitment to safety, and we'll add liability to the city as well, so that you're clear there. Our geozoning technology is extremely accurate and well built out compared to any competitor out there. We do track all of our vehicles via GPS. We kind of will draw an outline of where we have the ability for the vehicles to go. We can also create slow speed zones, no ride zones, and have some ways of affecting and morphing the parking situations as well. We really do want to have a focus on reducing the concept of clutter. Fun point there. Especially as we're entering into these smaller communities that are quaint, cute, have character, history. It's not a big city with, you know, just plastered cement everywhere. I'm originally from Hawaii, so I feel a deep connection with just making sure that our communities look nice. One of the things that instantly drew me to working at Bird is the fact that our scooters aren't super bright colored. They're black or silver. They kind of blend in with the community. And we've had a huge focus on how do we ultimately reduce the concept of clutter. In large cities, like you'll see some kind of horror stories come from Dallas and Austin, the main concern is that there's no cap of vehicles in some markets where you have a really high volume of vehicles and not a lot of regulation. So we want to work with you to make sure that we're getting your feedback and editing the program as needed. A big part of this is trying to figure out how to kind of gamify it to educate the riders so that the riders aren't tossing them everywhere and are leaving them appropriate places. So how do we encourage riders through education to do things right? Sometimes education and telling someone to do something right doesn't mean that they're gonna do it. So you can provide incentives like giving them discounts to park in certain areas. You can also require them to take a picture of where they parked their vehicle as a reminder to make them feel like they are going to get caught if they don't do the right thing. We also can work with you as a city to kind of make some physical space and markers to signal where people should park them. And then we'll have that fleet manager locally who's going to be riding around kind of making sure that anything that's out of place is in the right place and put back to kind of those major areas. We have a lot of data as well. So some of the things is our vehicles do have tracking devices on them when they're meant to be parked. If someone picks that up and tries to toss it over, tip it, you know, throw it in the middle of the street, that fleet manager will get an alert and will instantly go to respond to correct that. So there's a lot of little tiny details that go into reducing clutter that come together to create a positive experience. And Bird being in over 350 cities globally, we've seen what we want to say all, but things always are continually changing. But we've seen a lot and we've adapted how we're doing things and how we educate the riders, because this is a huge concern to the majority of the cities that we speak with, and we want to make sure that we properly integrate into your community. So as I keep talking about this fleet manager and kind of local representative, Bird would contract with someone that lives either within your community or very, very close by. They are going to be assigned the fleet of birds that are within Cedar Hills. They make a percent of the commission that comes in from the fleet. A portion of that in the beginning of the partnership goes towards paying off the cost of the vehicles. So the alignment is really great, where they want to make sure the vehicles are placed in the proper places, and that they're being used properly and cared for. They're responsible for different actions like repairing, charging, and rebalancing the vehicles. to say a vehicle is taken from the park into a neighborhood where there really isn't much demand, that fleet manager would go pick that up, bring it back. They also will get alerts, so your community has the ability to send notifications to this fleet manager to say, you know, you need to move this scooter or whatnot. So with this new fleet manager operation model, this is where we went from being in like 30 to 50 cities to over 300 within a matter of about a year and a half. And it really does provide these local people with, you know, our expertise and such. So with that, would love to kind of open up to some questions that you may have. Our proposal, to kind of quickly review just a few more details, would be to come into Cedar Hills with a small fleet of about probably 25 to start, see where the demand is and how the city is taking them in. From there, we would expand based on the demand that we're seeing and the numbers. We would have either, typically we have a contract in place that would provide the city with liability unless there's proven gross negligence on the roadways, which has you pretty covered, along with that user agreement and a insurance policy that will cover, have you included on this call. And so we would be ready to kind of enter the city of Cedar Hills with kind of in the springtime. By this point, it looks like you guys are getting some winter weather starting to roll through, so we would likely want to get started come spring with proper approval.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Kate?
So the first question I've got, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Has anybody from Cedar Hills approached you about having the scooters here, or is this just an effort to see what the appetite is?
So I was at the League of Cities convention, I think it was 2 weeks ago, meeting with a bunch of cities, and then was able to meet your mayor and a few others, I believe, at the event and do a preliminary discussion.
Okay. I'm just thinking about the layout of our city and the, you know, the things that we have around here. And I am curious how much demand there would actually be. I mean, I'm not against happy bird scooters by any means. I'm just worried that it wouldn't be high demand.
Yeah, so that's the great thing about our program. We're not shackling you to really much. Starting as a pilot program is a great way to get started and see the data. So you'll have access to a dashboard that shows you where all of the vehicles are at all times. We're going to start to generate heat maps on where demand is for pickups and also for where vehicles are most dropped off. And you'll be able to see a number of different stats, like how long the rides are, and the cost of the rides and all of that good stuff. Since you are near a lot of other active markets that we're in, it would be really easy to kind of get started with a pilot as a test, look at the data, see how things are going, and then adapt from there. So if at the end of the day, this really isn't something that, say, you know, a few months in, there isn't demand or there isn't interest by the city, we can always decide to move the scooters to another market.
Okay, and then the last thought I have on this is we do neighbor a couple of areas where I see a scooter being used, you know, going to the market or whatever. And then we've got, you know, Highland next to us. They have plenty of those resources, and possibly, you know, American Fork and Order, Pleasant Grove, for those people that want to go a bit further. When it comes to the geofencing, would they be limited to Cedar Hills, or would they be able to go to other cities?
So that's a little bit of the puzzle piece and challenge of my job, is making sure that we get kind of approval for connecting cities. there next week to, you know, go to Logan and just continue some discussions with additional Utah cities. So the hopes would be that you'd be free flowing or you could go to other cities.
Sounds good, thank you.
Does anybody else have any questions for Kate? Would you be interested in a pilot program?
Yeah. I'm not against it by any means. I mean, another business here for somebody, you know, an opportunity for somebody to make some money in the city would be great.
Good job.
Yeah.
I would not be against it. I think it's probably a market driven thing, so if it works.
Yeah,
if it's not used, then they'll go away.
Right. Ryan, what do you
think? What do I think?
Yeah.
I
think. About this, not in general.
Yeah.
About this.
I guess I'm not opposed to a pilot program. I'm trying to envision how this would work in our community. I guess we wanted to know that the end of us did a pilot program.
Right.
I suspect that there's not, but we're a small city, but, you know, unless you're, I think primarily people that would want to use it would be teenagers, but you have to be 18 to use them. I think that maybe somebody would run to Walmart with one, but you can't carry back a gallon of milk or anything like that. You go to the parks, I guess. That's probably the kind of most obvious accessing a park. But I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to think it out.
Kate, in small cities like ours, what are most people using these for? What's the average trip on one of these scooters? What are people doing?
Average trips are usually like about a mile to 4 miles max, but usually like around that mile mark, people will use them. And you'd be surprised where and how people use them. Sometimes in smaller cities that I've been to, it's really just to kind of get to someone's house or get to the park or get to, like you said, Walmart. You can carry like a backpack or a bag on your shoulder to carry goods, and we typically kind of see where and how people are going to use them. And hopefully, kind of with you guys, I think with Cedar Hills, as I was going through the streets and planning to go there kind of next week, you know, didn't look like there were too many attractions that. You know, no, like universities and stuff like that. But I do think that the data really does show how they would be used pretty quickly. So, especially if we were able to connect to Highland, and we do have approval in Pleasant Grove, which looks like it connects as well.
Yes, it does. Okay.
So that's my vision for it, is having you just interconnected and having them available so that if someone, you know, does want to use it, they are able to, even if you're trying to, you know, get to one of the ball clubs or the parks.
That's
kind of what I would envision. Like it would really be used if we were connected with other cities. Otherwise, it's a quick trick for young married.
No, if the council wants to maybe pursue, see what an agreement looks like, I'll work with Kate on getting something that we can discuss further in depth.
So are we okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, I think we do.
I don't know if she heard that. This one doesn't have a mic.
She did. She nodded. Did you hear her say that?
Okay.
Tell me, we'll be back in touch with you and we'll work something out.
Okay.
Okay,
yep.
Perfect. Well, you guys have a great evening. The sunset looks beautiful from your building. Thanks for pointing me that direction. And let me know if you need anything. I will be in Utah on Monday and Tuesday in Logan. So feel free to ask me if you have any questions or want me to do a drive by.
Okay, appreciate it. appreciate it. Thank you, Kate.
Have a good one.
You too. Good night. Well, we only have a few minutes left. Is there any, are there any items that you wanted to discuss, Chandler, from the regular session? Okay. All right, if not, I will take a motion to adjourn the work session.
I'll make the motion to adjourn the work session.
Thank you. Thank you. Motion by Councilmember Elton, second by Councilmember Miller, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye, okay. Work session adjourned for a few minutes.
Back in 3 minutes.
Back in 3, yeah.